Good morning, everyone. Today is the day that we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, 1 week before his resurrection. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to start reading at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." Just for your information, Bethphage in the Aramaic means the house of stables. Okay, Jesus was going to make his entrance into the city riding, not walking as he had always done. He was going to make his entrance riding on a donkey colt. See, when a king rode a donkey into a city, it represented that they had come in peace. It demonstrated his gentleness and humility, especially upon a colt. Jesus had chosen the colt also because it was an unbroken, unridden animal, which would demonstrate his authority over animals. And the disciples, though, did you notice? They never questioned him either. They did as he had instructed them to do. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, just do it. That's what Jesus' mother told us in John chapter 2, verse 5. Now back to Matthew, verse 3. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will let them and send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The prophet was Zechariah. And some 450 to 500 years prior to Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, Zechariah had prophesied the event we now call Palm Sunday. He was one of the last three prophets in the Old Testament. His book is in between Haggai and the last book, which is Malachi. These three prophets spoke God's word to the exiles returning from the Babylon captivity to Jerusalem. Now Haggai, you know, he only prophesied 4 months. He spoke to the people about their attitude towards God and their worship of God. He stressed on putting God first, numero uno. The people, when they went back, were more consumed with rebuilding the city and their homes rather than his temple. Now Malachi, though, he's the final book of the Old Testament, number 39. And it's about the error of forgetting the love of God. When people forget God's love, it affects their attitude, home, and worship. With God's love and loyalty in doubt, sacred commitments no longer remain sacred. What's love got to do with it? Everything. But I want to point something out. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Let me point out to you where it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare way before me." The messenger here is with a small m, you see. This is a prophecy about John the Baptist. And the Lord, well, that's in the Messiah, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. Even that messenger of the covenant, that is messenger with a capital M. That's a prophecy about Jesus Christ, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Pretty cool. Well, that's about love. God so loved the world. Now in Zechariah, book number 38, you know, the name Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. His vision and prophecies brought encouragement and hope. They told of his visions and prophecies and about the defeat of Israel's enemies. Also, they were visions of the rebuilding of the city and the temple and the promise of future glories of Zion. And the most thrilling vision of all was the prediction of a coming king, the Messiah who would bring eternal salvation and the promised eternal kingdom. And that prophecy in Zechariah 9:9 is, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Daughter refers to a relationship between God and his people. That's what this is when he refers to as daughter. The prophecy was fulfilled in every particular, and it was indeed a time of rejoicing as Jerusalem welcomed their king. In verse 6 of Matthew 21, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! The ancient Jews used the word Hosanna to express adoration, praise, and joy. In the Hebrew, it basically means, save us now. But in the Aramaic, it is translated as, oh, save, bring the victory, Lord. The crowds were recognizing that Jesus was Yahweh's Messiah. By shouting out, Son of David, they were clearly expecting Jesus to immediately overthrow the Roman oppression and set the nation free. The crowds looked for a Messiah who would rescue them politically and free them nationally. But Jesus had come to save them spiritually. Many want victory before the cross, but true victory comes after resurrection. In verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. It was in a state of disturbance. And they asked, who is this? The crowd answered, this is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The Hebrew word Naza or Nazareth can be translated branch or victorious one. They were shouting, this is Jesus, the victorious one of Galilee. Pretty cool. As Jesus entered the holy city, he neared the total completion of the long journey towards Golgotha. He had just come, if you remember, to do what? To seek and to save the lost. And now was the time. This was the place. The place to secure the salvation for mankind. Palm Sunday marked the start of what is often called Holy Week or Passion Week, the final 7 days of Jesus' earthly ministry. Palm Sunday was the beginning of the end of Jesus' work on earth. The day had begun with Jesus and his disciples traveling over the Mount of Olives. The Lord sent two disciples ahead into Bethphage to find a donkey and its unbroken colt to ride into the city. There they found them, just as Jesus had said they would. Jesus was in control, folks, as he always is. Remember, Jesus is always in control. He was in control of the events of that last week of his life, even though the events led to his death. When they untied the colt, the owners began to question them. The disciples responded with the answer, just as Jesus had provided. If anyone asks you why you are untying them, say, the Lord needs them. Amazingly, the owners, they were cool with that answer. And they let the disciples take them and go. It's amazing when you speak the word, especially God's word, because the word works. They brought the donkeys to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As Jesus ascended towards Jerusalem, a large multitude gathered around him. This crowd, they knew that Jesus was the Messiah. What they did not understand, though, was that it wasn't time to set up the kingdom just yet. Although Jesus, he had tried to tell them earlier, if you want to look it up, it's in Luke 19, 11 through 12. The crowd's actions along the road, they gave raise to the name Palm Sunday. In Matthew 21, verse 8, what a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while Jesus cut branches, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The great crowd spreading out their cloaks on the road before him, they were giving Jesus the royal treatment, basically the red carpet. King Jehu was given similar honor at his coronation in 2 Kings 9, verse 13. It says, they quickly took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, Jehu is king. The crowd that day was shouting, Jesus is king. Very loudly, Jesus is king. In John's Gospel 12:13, let me point out, it's recorded here in details, that the branches they cut were from palm trees. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting. They cut palm branches. You know, that's the only one in the gospel that specifies what the branches were. Well, and now you know the rest of the story, right? It was called Palm Sunday. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed, they were shouting. And in their shouting, they were honoring him verbally. As they went, they kept shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. In their praise of Jesus, the Jewish crowds were quoting Psalm 118, verse 26, which I quote, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This was an acknowledged prophecy of Christ. The allusion to the messianic psalm drew resentment from the religious leaders that were present that day. Because in Luke 19, verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." The Pharisees thought the crowd's words were scandalous and blasphemous. They didn't want anyone challenging their power and authority, and they were also fearful of a revolt that would bring the Roman army down on them. So they asked Jesus to quiet the people's voices. However, Jesus saw no need to rebuke those who told the truth. Media today doesn't want the truth being told. They sure shut us up, don't they? Anyhow, Luke 19, verse 40, in the Amplified, it says, Jesus replied, "I tell you, if these people keep silent, the stones along this very road will cry out in praise." Why? Not because Jesus was setting up a powerful political kingdom, but because he was establishing God's eternal kingdom. A real reason to celebrate. Unfortunately, the celebration was not to last. Jesus, though, for the first time, allowed himself a public acknowledgement that he is the nation's Messiah and King as he rode on a donkey colt from Bethany to Jerusalem. 1.5 miles, fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy written more than 450 years ago. By this act, the Jewish religious authorities, realizing the strong messianic prophecies, were very much agitated. That's to say the least. Up to this point, he had not allowed a public acknowledgement of himself as the Messiah. In Matthew 8, verses 2 through 4, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one.'" In Matthew 9, verse 27 and 30, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men, they came to him. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be to you.' And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, 'See that no one knows it.'" One more. Matthew 12, 16. "And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known." So it wasn't up until Palm Sunday when he really let the acknowledgement be known that he was the Messiah and that he was the King. It was time. And it was in God's timing. And God's timing, as we know, is always perfect timing. We don't control the time. God does. Now, Luke 19:41, "When Jesus caught sight of the city, he burst into tears with uncontrollable weeping over Jerusalem, saying, 'If only you could recognize that this day peace is within your reach, but you can't see it. For the day is soon coming when your enemies will surround you, hem you in on every side, and lay siege to you. They will crush you to pieces and your children too, and they will leave your city totally destroyed. Since you would not recognize God's day of visitation, you will see your day of devastation. Jesus knew that so many of the people of Israel had rejected him, that the nation would suffer judgment in the form of a terrible destruction that came on Jerusalem in AD 70. Even as the countless multitudes waved the palm branches that day and shouted for joy, they missed the true reason for Jesus' presence. They could neither see nor understand the cross. That's why, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, that he burst into tears and said, "If only you could recognize that this day peace is within your reach, but you can't see it." It is a tragic thing to see the Savior, but not recognize him for who he is. The crowds were crying out, "Hosanna," on this day. But then, in just a few days, they would be crying, "Crucify him." There's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The worship will be real then. The Apostle John records a scene in heaven that features the eternal celebration of the risen Lord. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, John writes, "I looked up, and behold, right in front of me, I saw a vast multitude of people, an enormous multitude, so huge that no one could count, made up of victorious ones from every nation, tribe, people group, and language. They were all in glistening white robes, standing before the throne and before the Lamb with palm branches in their hands." Remember, the palm tree is a biblical symbol of victory. "And they shouted with a great passionate voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, seated on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Palm Sunday is a day we, the believers, celebrate. The triumphal entry of Jesus. We can't look short of what this day means. But let me ask you, has he made that entry into your life? It means victory for you, defeat for the enemy. So if you would, just say this prayer with me. Say, "Oh God in heaven, thank you for giving Jesus Christ to me. I know that I have sinned before you. Forgive me my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. And he was put in the grave. And then in 3 days, he was raised from the grave, ever living to make intercession for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Amen." God bless.